I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Andrew Grossman is a local attorney who represents a guy by the name of Bo Carell. Won a big case yesterday. He's part of this Never Trump movement. He doesn't want to vote for Donald Trump, even though he's a delegate to the RNC. And the rules had said, first ballot, you have to vote for Donald Trump. Well, he took it to court, and he got a big victory yesterday. But just how big is the victory? Andrew Grossman, Bo Carell's attorney, is on the line right now to help us understand. So what is this verdict that you got yesterday? What does it mean?
Well, you've got 20 states out there that have these laws saying that delegates have to vote for primary winners. And the court made clear that those laws simply can't be enforced. Donald Trump has been going around telling delegates that it's illegal for them if they choose to vote their consciences, and that's simply wrong.
All right, so what did the court say?
Well, the court held, drawing on just about four decades worth of precedents in this area, that delegates are free to vote their consciences and that the government can't tell them how to vote. They have a right. They're the people who comprise the party, who go there and choose the leaders, choose the platform, choose the rules, choose all of these things. They can't be punished if they choose to vote their conscience. That's a choice that they get to make.
What was the Republican Party's input on this, the RNC? What did they have to say on this, and where did they stand on it?
Well, interestingly enough, the party was not in the case, but there was a stalking horse group of Trump delegates that joined the case, and they actually opposed this. They filed motions to try and block the relief that the court granted in this case. Their view was that under Virginia law, people should have all the delegates from the state should have to vote for Trump, even though 65% of primary voters in the state voted for somebody else in the primary. Needless to say, they lost.
Reince Priebus, the chairman of the Republican Party, has weighed in on this. And first of all, I need to get some clarification here. Apparently the RNC is saying, I don't care what the state does. When you come to the convention, you are still under RNC rules, and the RNC requires that you vote the way, you know, that you've been apportioned in your particular state. So that would mean that regardless of the state victory, which means the state can't fine your guy, that as far as the RNC is concerned, he would have an obligation to still vote for Donald Trump. What do you say to that?
Well, first of all, that's not true. Even under the RNC rules, it was something like 17 of the delegates out of 49 from Virginia are bound to vote for Trump. So most of them actually are going to be voting for other candidates, even under the RNC rules. But there's a very big debate going on about what those RNC rules actually require. On the one hand, you've got a lot of delegates who are pushing for a conscience clause that would allow delegates to vote their conscience in every single instance. But at the same time, a lot of historians have looked at the RNC rules and how they developed over the years and how they've been applied for decades and have realized that the RNC rules have always allowed delegates to vote their consciences. There are dozens of examples of that happening over the years. It's just in recent years, there hasn't been much need for it. People have been satisfied with the presumptive nominee, and so there hasn't been this kind of debate.
But you think it could come, it could raise its head this time around?
It's almost inevitable. You've got a very large group of Democrats, or I'm sorry, of delegates.
Well, I mean,
people who make up.
See, that's what a lot of people fear here. Actually, to be honest with you, that was a Freudian slip.
Oh, bad.
A lot of people believe that the people who are this never Trump, are, you know, maybe aren't being true to the party in the best interest of the party. For example, listen to Reince Priebus, the chairman of the party, and how he feels about this movement.
This is it. We have the House, we have the Senate, we need to win the White House. This is our chance to actually govern in this town and change things for the better. And for some people, to take a pass, it is it's unfathomable why people would have that attitude.
So when you hear things like that from the chairman of the party, it would sound like, it sounds to me as if his intention is to be pretty firm with that gavel and gavel this kind of movement down.
Well, first of all, Reince Priebus is not the one wielding the gavel. That's going to be Paul Ryan. But in any instance, it's the parliamentarians who decide these things, and the parliamentarians apply the RNC rules. And so what those rules are really does become a serious matter of debate. And like I said, there are people who are pushing for a conscience clause in the rules, and there's a really strong case to be made that the rules already allow that sort of voting. Look, all the delegates to the convention want the Republican nominee to win, but we've got the one person right now who's the presumptive nominee who's been falling behind Hillary Clinton in every single poll that's out there. You've got the worst Democratic candidate in a generation, and the presumptive nominee right now is the one guy who it looks like can't beat her, and is even potentially throwing into question the Republican leadership of the House and potentially the Senate as well. So these are very serious times. I think these are all the people who are behind this Never Trump movement, the delegates who are questioning the choice of Donald Trump, are hardcore Republicans. They're people who want to see the party win. There's just a disagreement about the best way to do that.
Well, D.C.'s got a group of delegates going, and they're not bound to Trump. And they were very curious about, they're bound to Rubio and Kasich. And I don't think Kasich has released his delegates. So they're going to the convention with that, but they wanted to be able to vote their conscience also. I was a part of the meeting and listened to their concerns. But for many people, you know, some of the things you're saying, Republicans obviously disagree on this issue. It's a hotbed issue. We don't all see, obviously aren't all looking at the same polls. We see polls where they're neck and neck. We've seen polls where people completely don't trust Hillary Clinton. And many Republicans believe that if the Never Trump people would at least vote for Donald Trump, they could potentially win. Instead, they feel that saying Never Trump is a third term for Obama. What is your thought on that?
Look, the important thing is that the party has got to come together after the convention. There's got to be unity at that point. But I think until that, all options should be open, because the Republicans need to have the strongest possible candidate. And if you look at somebody like Hillary Clinton, nobody trusts her. She has this horrible email scandal. You know, there really is a once-in-a-generation opportunity here for a Republican candidate to come in and really build enormous momentum and really broaden the
race.
Well,
they had that opportunity, though. It's called a primary.
That's certainly right. And there was really a lot of dissension within the primary. There was a lot of chaos. And for what it's worth, Donald Trump didn't win even a majority of voters in the Republican primary. There are a lot of people who have doubts about him as a candidate, and there are a lot of people who have doubts about his conservative principles, which I think it's fair to say, you know, what he's announced as his principles have been all over the place. And that's something that give a lot of ideologically motivated voters pause.
Well, you think it's going to be very interesting, and there's going to be an actual battle on the floor, and this is going to get ugly. That's sort of your sense of it.
Well, I think going into this, that's going to have to, I think that's very likely, because Donald Trump has failed to unify the party. He's had over a month now to try and bring people together to try and assuage their concerns.
Right.
And he hasn't done any of that. Instead, he's been focusing on Saddam Hussein. He's been focusing on a judge he doesn't like. He's been doing things that have not been helping his poll numbers and that have not been bringing Republicans together.
All right.
And I think that's what's driving this.
Our time is up, but thank you so much for joining us. And